Welcome to Base by Base, the papercast that brings genomics to you wherever you are. Thanks for listening, and don't forget to follow and rate us in your podcast app. Okay, let's dive deep into a really significant global health issue, type 2 diabetes, or T2D. Now, standard treatments, they often aim to, you know, control blood sugar or maybe try to get more insulin out of the pancreas.
Right.
But here's the frustrating part. They rarely seem to fix the core problem. That underlying issue where the insulin-producing beta cells just become less efficient and eventually fail.
It's a fundamental puzzle in endocrinology, really. We know the beta cells fail. We see that.
Yeah.
But when scientists try to look under the hood at the molecular level, the data often gets, well, confusing.
Confusing how?
Well, for years, we've been comparing gene counts, which genes are on or off in healthy cells versus TTD cells. But the results, often conflicting. It's like trying to figure out why an orchestra sounds bad just by counting how many instruments are playing.
That's a great way to put it. Are the flutes too loud? Or is the whole woodwind section just out of sync?
Exactly. And that leads to this really interesting idea. What if the key isn't just which genes are active, the volume, but how those genes are, you know, interacting, coordinating with each other?
The synchronization, not just the individual levels.
Precisely. Looking at the coordination. And this shift, looking at gene coordination, it kind of changes how we might need to think about T2D mechanisms.
So this new approach, it gets deeper into the cell's sort of internal wiring.
Yes, it reveals these very specific regulatory pathways unique to each cell type in the pancreas that were just completely hidden when we only looked at simple gene counts. It's a different picture. And today, we really want to highlight the work of the researchers who developed this method differential gene coordination network analysis, or DGCNA. It's a big step forward, really advancing our understanding of T2D and these intricate dynamics within the pancreatic islets.
Okay, so let's set the stage for you listening. T2D is, it's a huge global health challenge. And it's driven by this kind of double whammy, right?
That's right. First, the body's tissues, they start resisting insulin's effects. And second, the pancreatic beta cells, the insulin factories, they just can't pump out enough insulin to make up for that resistance.
And understanding why those beta cells falter is crucial for finding better treatments.
Absolutely. That impaired islet function is central. But the islet itself is, well, it's complex. It's not just beta cells. It's a tiny organ with 5 different hormone-producing cell types: alpha, beta, delta, gamma, epsilon cells.
And that complexity, that's been a major roadblock for researchers, hasn't it?
It really has. Early studies looked at the whole islet mashed together.
Like that orchestra smoothie you mentioned.
Exactly. You get a very muddy picture. Even later, when single-cell sequencing, secRNA-seq, came along and could separate the cell types, The results were still pretty inconsistent.
Why was that, if you could see individual cells?
Well, there's a lot of natural variation between people, biological noise, and often the actual changes in gene expression levels in T2D are quite subtle. It just wasn't giving a clear, consistent signal for drug development.
Okay, so the noise was drowning out the signal.
Pretty much. And that's why this shift towards network biology became so important. Instead of just asking how much of a gene is being made,
you ask, how is it connected?
Right. Is the relationship, the coordination between gene A and gene B different in a T2D cell compared to a healthy one? Does it get stronger or does it break down?
Which brings us neatly to the core method here, DGCNA, Differential Gene Coordination Network Analysis. The name says it all, really.
It does. It's a sophisticated computational approach. You know, standard analysis looks for differential expression. Is a gene up or down? DGCNA looks for differential coordination.
So are gene partnerships changing?
Exactly. Does the regulatory link between two genes get stronger? They term this hypercoordinated, or does it weaken or fall apart, which they call decoordinated in T2D?
Now, to do that kind of complex network analysis, looking at the structure, you must need incredibly good data. Right? Not just lots of cells, but lots of information per cell.
Oh, absolutely critical. They used high-depth secRNA-seq data. We're talking about 16 T2D donors and 16 non-T2D donors, giving them over 8,500 high-quality single cells.
And high-depth means?
It means roughly 1 million genetic reads per cell. That level of detail is key. It gives the statistical power needed to actually detect these potentially subtle coordination changes reliably.
And filter out the noise.
Precisely. They use clever techniques like bootstrapping and mixed effects models to find what they call robust differential networks, RDNs, making sure the findings weren't just quirks of one individual donor.
That robustness is really important. Okay, let's get on the results, the key findings. Starting with the beta cells, the main insulin producers. DGCNA found 11 distinct networks, NDCGs they call them, that were differently coordinated in T2D. And it paints a really complex, almost paradoxical picture.
It really does. It's not just a simple shutdown. Some systems seem to be pushed into overdrive, while others, especially the control systems, are clearly breaking down.
Okay, let's break that down. Start with the overdrive systems, the hypercoordinated networks. What was ramped up?
Well, one major network was all about the ribosome, literally the genes that build the cell's protein factories.
So the machinery for making proteins.
Exactly. Its hypercoordination strongly suggests the T2D beta cell is actually trying to enhance its capacity for basal insulin production. And they even backed this up. They saw increased staining for a ribosomal protein in T2D patient samples.
Wait, hang on. The cell is failing, but it's boosting its insulin production machinery. That seems counterintuitive.
It does, and it doesn't stop there. Another hypercoordinated network involved insulin secretion, the genes for the actual machinery that gets insulin out of the cell, like exocytosis components.
So it's gearing up to make and secrete more insulin. Why would a failing cell do that?
That's the puzzle DGCNA helps unravel. It looks like the cell isn't just quietly failing. It might be in a state of, let's say, stressed overproduction, but it's inefficient. And that leads to maybe the most surprising hypercoordinated network, the lysosome network.
The lysosome, that's the cell's recycling and garbage disposal unit, right?
Exactly. The hypercoordination here suggests the cell is actually upregulating the degradation of insulin. It's like it's making all this insulin, maybe in a less regulated way, but can't secrete it efficiently, so it starts destroying the excess granules internally, a process called chronophagy.
Wow. So it's producing more, trying to secrete more, but also destroying more internally. A real state of internal chaos. So
that's a good way to put it. Production and degradation are pushed hard. Now let's look at the other side, the systems that are decoordinated, the ones breaking down. This is where we see the functional failure mechanisms more clearly.
Okay, what's falling apart?
This really hits the core functions. They found major decoordination in networks related to glycolysis and mitochondria.
Energy production and glucose sensing.
Precisely. This is the machinery the cell uses to sense sugar and generate the energy needed to release insulin appropriately. We already had hints about mitochondrial problems in T2D, but DGCNA shows the coordination between genes involved, especially in the electron transport chain, is specifically disrupted. The fuel gauge is broken.
And it wasn't just about energy, was it? The cell's actual structure and identity seemed affected too.
Yes, two other critical areas showed decoordination. One was the microfilaments network. This involves the cell's internal skeleton, its structure. Changes here mess with how insulin granules are moved and released.
So the internal organization is disrupted. And the second area?
A network they labeled proliferation glucose response. This one's crucial. It contained key master regulator genes transcription factors like PDX1, NIRODD1, MAFA, the ones that basically define what a beta cell is and how it responds to glucose. Its decoordination suggests a loss of that specific beta cell identity and function.
That sounds really fundamental, loss of identity.
It points towards why these cells become so dysfunctional over time. And what's really compelling is how well these findings held up.
The validation, right. How do they confirm this?
They tested the DGCNA predictions on a whole separate data set, and the overlap in significant findings was much, much better with DGCNA compared to just looking at standard gene expression differences. It showed the power of looking at coordination.
Can you give an example of a specific gene validation?
Sure. Take TMM176AB. It popped up in that decoordinated microfilaments network.
Right.
They did functional work. In mice, knocking out this gene actually caused an increase in actin filament density inside the beta cells. It made the internal scaffolding denser, mirroring structural changes seen in human T2D islets. It confirmed this gene's role in organizing that internal structure, which we know affects insulin release.
So DGCNA didn't just find it was decoordinated. The functional work showed why that matters.
Exactly. And another great example is CEBPG. DGCNA predicted it was a key regulator in the unfolded protein response, the UPR.
The cell's quality control system for proteins.
Right. And again, functional tests confirmed it.
Oh,
knocking down CEBPG in beta cells caused the UPR system to fail. Proteins started clumping up, misfolding. It directly linked that network decoordination to a failure in cellular quality control, which is a known stress pathway in T2D.
This paints a picture of pretty severe dysfunction, specifically in the beta cells. What about their neighbors in the islets, like the alpha cells that make glucagon? Did DGCNA find changes there too?
Oh, definitely. And importantly, the changes were different, which really highlights the cell type specificity of this approach. DGCNA found 4 distinct networks altered in alpha cells.
Alpha cells make glucagon, which raises blood sugar. What changed there?
Well, they found 1 hypercoordinated network related to secretory granules. This fits with other research showing that in T2D, alpha cells often don't suppress glucagon secretion properly when blood sugar is high, which, you know, makes the overall glucose control worse.
Okay, so problems with glucagon release. What about decoordination in alpha cells?
Interestingly, unlike the beta cells, the alpha cells showed decoordination for glycolysis, mitochondria, and importantly, the ribosome network.
Wait, the ribosome network was hypercoordinated in beta cells, but decoordinated in alpha cells. Why the difference?
That's a fascinating contrast. The thinking is that decoordination of the ribosome network in alpha cells might mean they have a reduced capacity to produce glucagon.
So, less glucagon production.
Potentially. It could actually be the body attempting a compensatory mechanism, trying to limit glucagon's effect of raising blood sugar because levels are already chronically high. It shows just how specific these regulatory changes are, varying even between neighboring cells in the same islet.
Okay, so if we try to, you know, connect all these dots, synthesize this, what's the bigger picture emerging from this DGCNA analysis?
The big picture is that T2D onset in beta cells isn't a simple shutdown. It's more like controlled chaos breaking down. The cells seem stressed into overproducing insulin, basically, perhaps inefficiently.
Driven by that hypercoordinated ribosome and secretion machinery.
Right. But at the same time, the systems needed for regulated stimulus-driven release, the glucose sensing via glycolysis and mitochondria are falling apart due to decoordination.
And the internal structure and quality control are also breaking down.
Exactly. The microfilaments network decoordination messes with release mechanics, and the UPR pathway issues, potentially linked to genes like CEBPG, mean the cell can't handle the stress properly. And that hypercoordinated lysosome network, that suggests the cell is frantically trying to clean up the mess by degrading excess, possibly misfolded or unneeded, insulin.
It sounds like the cell's internal communication and regulation network has fundamentally broken down.
That's a perfect way to summarize it. The coordination is lost. This explains why just pushing the accelerator harder with some current drugs might not work long term. You're stressing an already broken, uncoordinated system.
Which leads to the implications. This points towards potentially new therapeutic targets, doesn't it? Beyond just stimulating secretion.
Absolutely. Instead of just hitting the gas pedal, maybe we need to fix the engine's timing or repair the quality control systems. Targeting specific points within these decoordinated networks could be key.
Like focusing on those validated genes, CEBPG for the UPR, or TM176AB for the microfilaments.
Precisely. These represent non-canonical pathways. They're not the usual suspects in insulin secretion pathways, but might be crucial for restoring the efficiency and order within the beta cell, fixing the internal architecture, not just forcing output. It's a different therapeutic philosophy.
But there's a practical challenge here, isn't there? You mentioned the need for extremely high-depth sequencing data that million reads per cell.
Yes, that's the main limitation highlighted. DGCNA is powerful, but it needs that deep data to get the statistical power to reliably map these coordination networks and filter the noise.
And many current large-scale single-cell projects prioritize getting more cells, but maybe with less depth per cell.
That's often the trade-off, yes. High throughput methods focusing on cell numbers might not generate data deep enough for this specific type of detailed network topology analysis. So applying DGCNA broadly might require specific experimental designs focused on depth over breadth. It's at the cutting edge of what's technically feasible right now.
Okay, that's an important practical point. So let's try to zoom out for the take-home message for everyone listening. What's the core insight here?
I think the core insight is that the path to T2D in beta cells isn't a gradual uniform decline. It looks more like a complex breakdown in molecular coordination, a sort of regulatory chaos inside the cell.
Where some systems are paradoxically pushed into overdrive.
Like basal production and degradation.
While the crucial systems for regulated response, quality control, and even cell identity are losing their coordination and breaking down.
Exactly. DGCNA gives us a map of that specific breakdown.
So thinking about the future, what does this imply for developing better T2D therapies, maybe even personalized medicine?
Well, it suggests that maybe we need to shift focus. Instead of just finding ways to force more insulin out, perhaps the next generation of drugs should aim to repair that internal coordination, fix the regulatory wiring, improve metabolic coupling, shore up the quality control, targeting the root cause of the inefficiency, not just the symptom.
Restoring order within the beta cell itself. A fascinating new perspective. This episode was based on an open access article under the CC BY 4.0 license. You can find a direct link to the paper and the license in our episode description. If you enjoyed this, follow or subscribe in your podcast app and leave a 5-star rating. If you'd like to support our work, use the donation link in the description. Thanks for listening, and join us next time as we explore more science base by base.